begin in our lesson this morning in Matthew chapter 23. Before we do so, let me express appreciation for all who are here. We're encouraged by your attendance, and we pray as we continue worshiping, as we study the Word of God, that we'll handle it properly. And if we do so and we apply it to our lives, then God will be pleased, and certainly that is our desire. Over the past several Sunday nights, actually the last couple of Sunday nights, we've been looking at some errors of the Pharisees. This morning I want us to talk about hypocrisy, and probably when you think about the Pharisees and some of the problems that they had, hypocrisy might be one of the first things that comes to your mind. And we study lessons like this so we can avoid that problem. We've studied the problem that the Pharisees had concerning legalism. That is, they tried to be saved on the merit of their own strictness without any need for the grace of God. They had a code of conduct that they would try to live by, and they didn't need God's grace. They looked down on those people that they would consider as sinners. They despised those people. And then we looked at traditionalism. How the Pharisees not only wanted people to bow in submission to God's Word, but they wanted people also to bow in submission to their own body of traditions that had been handed down by the elders. They demanded that for a person to be faithful, they had to bow to the traditions of men as well as to God's law. And again, today we're going to study hypocrisy. Let's just begin by observing the general nature of hypocrisy. A hypocrite is someone who is one thing on the outside, but something entirely different on the inside. I was thinking as I was studying this lesson of something Rhett said Wednesday night, and I feel very much the same way. I don't think we're hypocrites, Rhett. I just think we understand our frailties and our weaknesses and the fact that we are sinful. A hypocrite is someone who is one thing on the outside. They appear to be one thing, but there's something entirely different on the inside. It's like my truck that has 350,000 miles on it. I carry it about once a year, and I'll have it washed and have it waxed, and man, it looks sharp. To me, it looks sharp to others. It looks like it, and it's, don't misunderstand me, it's worth more than $100 to me. But it looks great. But when you begin to look at it and you look at that odometer and it says, I think it says 349,000 a few odd miles right now. It's really not what it appears to be. Or here is a piece of furniture that you look at in the furniture store and it just looks fantastic. And you begin to look at what it's made of, and what you find out is it's not real wood. It's a veneer. And again, it looks like something that's very expensive, but really it's not that way. And basically in religion, people do exactly the same thing. They fix up the outside so that what people see looks really good. But if we could see the inside, and that's exactly what God sees, then they're not nearly as good from the inside out as they look from the outside. The outside looks good, but the inside is corrupt. And that was the Pharisees as a rule. Not all Pharisees were this way. And so as you look at Matthew chapter 23, and let me just read again verse 23 of Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." If you were to look at them, oh, they're very particular. And God did not condemn them. He said you should have tithed these very small herbs. But on the inside, they neglected justice and mercy and faith. Verse 24 says, Jesus says to them, blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Oh, they'd be very particular to get this gnat out. But he says, in turn, what you're doing is you swallow a camel. The outside of the tombs, they would really make look good. But at the same time, as they're building those tombs for the prophets, they are trying to decide, figure out a way to kill Jesus Christ. Jesus pictures them perfectly, continuing there in verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Now I read all of that to say what we want to do is we want to avoid being that type of individual. Now as we continue in our lesson, I want us to observe how hypocrisy affected every phase of the Pharisees' life. And this is what hypocrisy does. In the first place, it affected their teaching. And if you want to turn in your Bibles, I'll have it here on the screen. You can go back to Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 5. And again, what we're looking at is how hypocrisy affected their teaching. Beginning with verse 20 of chapter 5 of Matthew. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of those by old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. They would teach certain things. He says, you say, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say, Jesus says, don't be angry with your brother without a cause. Don't call people fools. You'll be in danger of hellfire. When you continue in verse 27, you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What Jesus is saying is, clean up the inside. Take care of the inside. Whereas the Pharisees, they emphasize the outward teaching instead of the heart. Secondly, hypocrisy affected their benevolence. Look at chapter 6. Of the book of Matthew, beginning in verse 1. Jesus says, and of course we're reading from the Sermon on the Mount, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets that they may have glory from men. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. Now here's how the Pharisees would go about helping those who are in need. Okay. I don't have a trumpet. Let me have your attention, everybody. Give me your attention. I want you to be sure to see what we're about to do. And then they would help someone. And Jesus says, the reason they're doing what they're doing is to be seen of men. It's not that men are seeing what they're doing. It's that they are doing it to be seen of men. And Jesus says, when men praise you, you have your reward. That's your reward in full. They couldn't even help somebody who needed help without being hypocritical about it. And maybe this is a good place to talk about the cause of hypocrisy. And this goes right along with what Rhett said Wednesday night. Pride. Pride is the cause of hypocrisy. Desiring, wanting the praise of men. And so we dress up the outside to make it look good and we forget the inside. It reminds me of a story I heard about a man with his son walking through the field. And what they were doing was they were stealing corn. And as they were going through the field, the father was looking to make sure no one was around. And his son looked at him. He said, "Daddy, you forgot to look up." That's the only person that really matters. Hypocrisy. A hypocrite looks to see if he's pleasing in man's eyes. If he were concerned about what God thought, then he would cleanse the inside. And so I'm reminded of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. As Samuel was looking for a king to replace Saul, verse 7 says he comes first of all to the older brother Eliab, and he looks like a kingly person. Verse 7 of 1 Samuel chapter 16 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" Are we to be concerned about what people see? Absolutely. But what they see, if it's good and right, is to be motivated from a pure heart. And God sees. God sees what I can't see, what you can't see. He sees the heart. Hypocrisy affected their praying. Look at verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." If a person were to see the Pharisees, this type of Pharisee praying, what they would think would be, doesn't he love prayer? Doesn't he love to pray? And again, the problem is not that people are seeing him pray or hearing him pray. The problem is he's praying so that people will see him, so he can be seen of men, so they can praise him. That is the only concern that this hypocrite has, is to receive the praise of men. Hypocrisy affected their human relations. You might turn, if you're turning in your Bibles, to John chapter 8. I want to begin reading in verse 1 of John chapter 8. And I want us to see how their hypocrisy affected their human relations. Beginning in verse 1, "But Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, When they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Again, what do you see? What you see are these Pharisees, and it appears that they're zealous in keeping the law. That's not it at all. We discussed this passage several Wednesday nights ago in our Wednesday night auditorium class. If they were really zealous in keeping the law, then the next question is, where is the man? If she was caught in the very act, then not only was the woman, but the man, both were to be put to death. What they were doing was they were using this woman to try to destroy Jesus. You know, some people have thought, well, Jesus, he didn't keep the law. Well, that's not true at all. As a matter of fact, if you continue in verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 7, the law taught this, The hands of the witnesses shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So you shall put away the evil from among you. Jesus kept the law. There was a capital offense. The witness was to be the one to cast the first stone. In Matthew chapter 22, in verse 15, then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And what you're going to see as we're reading these passages, these people are not sincere. They're plotting, they're testing Jesus, trying to ensnare him, catch him in a trap. Verse 16, and they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus answered, Give me a coin whose inscription's on it. Caesar's. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But their effort was to try to ensnare Jesus. In their dealing with others, hypocrisy affected their human relations. Can we see the problem of hypocrisy that the Pharisees had? The Lord hated it. It affected every aspect of their life, their worship. What is the cure? Well, there are two thoughts that sometimes people have. One is, the answer to hypocrisy is perfection. And I'll just say right up front, that's impossible. If we think because we are not sinless or someone else is not sinless in their life, then they are a hypocrite. That is the wrong idea completely. But some people have the idea there are two types of people. There's a hypocrite, and then there's someone who's perfect. And if you're not perfect, you're a hypocrite. No, that's not what makes a person a hypocrite. Don't be intimidated if someone sees a flaw in your life or even a sin in your life and they say to you, you're a hypocrite. Now, we're going to talk about what we need to do when we sin. But because I sin doesn't make me a hypocrite. It's what I do in relation to my sin that determines whether I'm hypocritical about what I'm doing. Another idea that people have is, well, since a person can't live a perfect life, the answer to hypocrisy is just to quit trying. We cannot. We cannot quit trying to do what the Lord asks us to do. That's not the answer. The answer is this. The answer is to confess. When we sin in our lives, when we fail to keep the law of God, we are to confess. The answer is genuineness. The answer is sincerity. That will show inside and out. Whatever you do, whatever I do, don't claim perfection because we are not. But be sincere. Be genuine in your efforts to serve the Lord. When we come to worship, be sincere as we worship. If I stood here and I said, you know, I never have a problem with my mind wandering off somewhere else when we are worshiping, I wouldn't be telling the truth. But I tell you what I do. I try to bring my mind right back. Lord, help me. Help me think about what we're doing. Help me do the very best that I can. As we sing, as we pray, as we observe the Lord's Supper, and we remember the death of our Lord. When we go to work on Monday, or go to school on Monday, or go wherever we go on Monday, we are striving to be sincere and genuine. We understand we're not sinless. We're not perfect. But when we sin, we repent of that sin. We acknowledge that sin. That's what confession is. We pray to God, if we're His child, to forgive us. And we do that throughout the week, everywhere that we are. As children, probably like many of you, we played church sometimes. As adults, we must avoid playing church and acting. Let's be what God wants us to be. To be sincere, to be genuine. Let me just talk for just a minute about a man who was a hypocrite for a little while, and that's King David. King David, he played the hypocrite for a little while. On the outside, he was God's king. On the inside, he was a sinner. You're familiar, and you can take the time to go this afternoon if you choose and read from 2 Samuel chapter 12 when Nathan comes to David. And it took that for David to get past his hypocrisy, his pride. When Nathan finally points the finger and says, you're the man. And David's response was, I have sinned. And we won't take the time, but you can go to Psalm 51 and you read Psalm 51, and what you see is David's prayer to God to forgive him. And obviously here is a man who is penitent. He's peeled the veneer off. He is embarrassed at what he has done. There is guilt. There's a sense of relief. Because he has repented. And now nothing to hide. When we sin, what we must do is we must admit that we sin. Have a heart that is an honest and a good heart, turning from that sin, acknowledging our sin, praying for God's forgiveness, and as His children, He forgives us. That's the difference in someone who is striving to serve the Lord and someone who is a hypocrite. We want what people to see. We want that to be who we are. And if they see things that are not good, we want to change that. And we acknowledge that we are weak. We are sinful. And we're never proud when we sin. We're embarrassed. We're ashamed. But God has provided a means for forgiveness. Let's not be like the Pharisees. Let's be people who are genuine and sincere. We're going to sing the song that has been announced. It may be that there is someone present.